court will proceed to the fourth case, the United States versus Steele. Mr. Handelsman.
Good morning, Your Honors. Robert Handelsman for the appellant. And my oral argument will cover arguments 1 and 2 of the briefs and a motion filed February 28th. There's an argument 3 dealing with Blakely and what we all thought Booker would say, and that's moot now. Mr. Steele must have the benefit of Palladino. Regardless of the result on the other issues, there must be a remand pursuant to Palladino. The government erroneously assumes that the mere presence of a public official in an extortion scheme implicates color of right. For color of right enhancement, the government must show more than the official's involvement. It must show the victim of the scheme had some basis for believing the public official could accomplish what the victim wanted. As I recall the facts in the Supreme Court's decision, Evans versus United States, the defendant was a person who was in a position to make a decision. He wasn't a paper shuffler. And here I believe the evidence shows that Williams was a paper shuffler. He filed reports, filled out reports, did routine, ministerial, non-discretionary things. He wasn't in a position to make a decision on dropping charges or really to make a recommendation. The victim here, who was Garza, certainly knew from what was going on in Illinois that prosecutors make the decision on whether to drop charges, and those decisions have to be ratified by a judge. Policemen don't make the decision. There was no evidence that any of the defendants told Garza that Williams' presence could in any way facilitate the dismissal of the charges. And there is no evidence which permitted Garza to reach that conclusion. As far as she was concerned, Williams was just another player in the scheme here. There is nothing special about him. There is no evidence to show that she thought that because he was involved in the scheme, he could in some manner facilitate the dismissal of the charges. Now, we are not arguing, as the government claims, that the victim must testify. What we are arguing, again, is that there has to be some evidence from which the victim can conclude that the official would play some role in the making of the decision the victim wants. And here we really don't know what Garza thought, because she didn't, for obvious reasons, didn't testify. And there is no evidence which would allow her to reach a conclusion that Williams' role in the scheme could in any way have any role in dismissing the charges or play any part in that. The other issue we present is that the RIP was a robbery and not an extortion, and thus not a basis to enhance Steele's sentence. Now, page 27 in the initial brief draws a common sense distinction between a robbery and an extortion. And we cited an unreported opinion from the Fourth Circuit, Pledge. Exact same facts as this. A police officer using his official position to take money and drugs from a drug dealer. He argued on appeal that what he did was extortion, and the Fourth Circuit said, no, it's a robbery. And that's basically what happened with this RIP. It shouldn't have played any part in Steele's sentence. And thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Handelsman. Mr. Kubiatowski?
May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Steve Kubiatowski, representing the United States. The government agrees with defendant that Palladino, under the circumstances here, does require a limited remand to determine what the district court would have done, specifically whether or not the district court would have imposed the same sentence. We would respectfully preserve our claim that there is still no plain error under the circumstances of this case, given that the defendant was sentenced to about 4 months above the guidelines, low end of the guidelines range, specifically 96 months and the range was 92 to 115 months as calculated by the district court. With respect to the extortion issue, defendant argues that in order for extortion under a color of official right under 2C1.1 to apply, that the mere presence of an official is not sufficient. The government agrees with that proposition. But here, it applies because the extortion was furthered by the official status of one of the three co-defendants here, namely Darian Williams. And it was furthered in connection with two extortions, one in May of 1999 and one in December of 2001. And the record fully supports the district court's determination that 2C1.1 should apply. In the May 1999 extortion, Darian Williams, the Inkster police sergeant, furthered the defendant's extortion by wearing his uniform, arriving in a marked car, conducting the stop in the manner of an officer, with the plan being that the victim, Rogelio Guires, the drug dealer's drug proceeds, would be confiscated by the police officer during the course of that stop. And with respect to the December 2001 attempted extortion, again, Darian Williams, the defendants reasonably believed that Darian Williams, the Bankster police sergeant, his presence was necessary to further the scheme. He got assigned to the case. He obtained a warrant to get the victim of the extortion, Julia Guire, extradited from Illinois to Michigan. He filed a supplementary report, prepared an affidavit. He used his official capacity in order to further this case. They believed, all the three defendants believed, that as an officer, they could convince Maria Garza that they could have the charges dropped and therefore her boyfriend would be released. Therefore, there was no error with respect to the application of extortion under color of official right under 2C1.1. The sentence was reasonable and therefore should be affirmed. Unless there are any further questions from the court, I yield the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Kubiatowski.
Thank you.
Mr. Handelsman?
Just a few comments. All the facts that Mr. Kubiatowski just gave you are ministerial and non-discretionary. Williams, as I said before, was a paper shuffler. Unlike most of the extortion cases involving government officials, which you see with building inspectors, all those that came out of here about 20 years ago with the Zoning Board of Appeals, these were people who were in a position to make a decision to affect someone's rights. What Williams did was not in that category. Again, he was just a paper shuffler. Now, as far as that May 1999 incident, which was characterized below as a rip, I don't have a copy of the indictment in front of me. I'm going by memory. I believe the first count was a conspiracy where that was alleged as an overt act, and the second count, if I'm not mistaken, was the extortionate act. What happened after the defendants approached Garza in Chicago? That robbery had nothing to do. That rip had nothing to do with what happened after Gary was extradited from Michigan, Illinois, and incarcerated in Illinois. It was over and done with. It was a separate act. It had nothing to do with what we would characterized as an extortion scheme. An act, we ask you, should not be considered with that extortion scheme in deciding what the defendant's plan was. In fact, at the time the rip was completed, there was no talk about doing the extortion scheme. That started after Gary was arrested and extradited back to Illinois. They were totally separate incidents. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton. Our thanks to both counsel. And, Mr. Hamilton, thank you for accepting the appointment.
Thank you.
Case is taken under advisement.